Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Bottom of the barrel Halloween food. I'll start. I'm ready to make people mad here. Smarties? No.
Whoa.
No.
You know who needs Smarties?
I'm not. You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties.
Uh-huh.
How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300? You know what? I'll take $300 from you right now, and I'll give you Smarties every day. And by day 6, you'll be like, I've had the previous 5 packs. I haven't opened them yet. I can't decide if it's crazier that you ate a Cobb salad in a movie theater or would pay $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Another week begins. What a weekend, eh? It was nice.
It was a weekend of just sitting in the pool for me, yeah, for like an entire day.
I did some of that, but the pool we had, well, my mother-in-law has a pool, so we did that. We also put out one of those pools you put out for kids.
Kiddie pools.
But yeah, not exactly. It's more like a half slip and slide, half pool scenario where basically I was just laying in 3 inches of water in the background, in the backyard. It's not a, if I said we had a pool.
Wait, it's a,
and you came over, you'd say this, that's not a pool. That's like a splashy pad for, with,
it's got poolish features.
Water.
It's okay, but it's a slip and slide that I'm having trouble visualizing what you're,
picture a giant circle.
Yeah.
That the edge of it fills with water and then shoots out like a fountain into a flat surface that can max out at 4 inches.
Okay.
So but it's all plastic and, you know, you could roll right out of it. There's no hard rim to the outside.
Yeah, okay. But it only gets like 3-4 inches of water,
if that.
You're saying.
Yeah, and then it'll spill out into the lawn. Yeah, and it also has a rip, so now we don't have it anymore because I put it in the trash. So
okay. So it ended this weekend.
Yes. It had a great last day.
That was
it. As I'm like, oh, man, something seems like it's not holding much water. Like, oh, yeah, there's a huge rip.
It's not holding the whole 3 inches of water that it's supposed to.
And the rip was also right by where you put the hose into it. So it's like, oh, there's no repairing that.
Sure.
Especially when the thing probably costs like, you know, $30 or something. So I got to go hunting for a new slip and slide. There was actually a discussion. I talked about it with my wife. Like, you know what we should do? Because we got a big family week coming up where there's a bunch of kids.
Uh-huh.
Like, we should get a huge slip and slide, because at that point, all we're doing is trying to find something that will entertain the children while we don't necessarily have to pay that much attention.
Yeah.
You can just kind of sit there and they run back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
And slip and slide, I feel like, is a good answer here.
I'm trying to think of even a strong competitor to the slip and slide for this. Like a water activity that's not a pool, like
sprinkler,
you can buy in a box.
You know, the hits. Sprinkler is always a good one there. Yeah. Run through the sprinkler.
They actually have the slip and slides that have like the rings that go around it with the sprinklers shoot down at it.
Into it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one.
There's the bounce house that has the water slide feature in a bounce house, those kind of things. Like, those are big too.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor's got one where you hook the hose into the bounce house and it shoots water from two different spots.
Yeah.
You know, people like me grew up, you saw a slip and slide once every 3 years.
Yeah.
And a bounce house once every 5 years.
Sure.
And now these are just all readily available.
I was in a bounce house yesterday, actually.
Nice.
I was at a birthday party where there was a bounce house with a water slide on the side of it.
Beautiful.
So you would go in the bounce house, and then there was like a thing you would climb up to go up to the water slide, and then you would go down that. That's an elite. You get one of those. Those are probably tougher. Those are people only rent those, right?
No, absolutely.
People own those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
On a given day in my neighborhood where it's really, if it's really warm out or nice out or people outside, I can stand on my back steps and kind of scan all the backyards, you know, because the streets, that's the way they work.
Yeah.
And see four bounce houses.
Okay. Just bounce house central.
It's bounce house season.
Yeah.
Yep. Ours also has a rip. That's another thing we have to replace. How did that get?
The bounce house?
Yeah, the bounce house. We had one. We bought it from a neighbor. Mm. It got a giant rip. How'd it get a rip? My son, despite us saying, do not throw the dog's tennis ball inside the bounce house.
Because the dog will go
do
in there.
Not do that. He did, and what you thought would happen happened.
Yeah.
The thing got shredded. Like the dog's a Wolverine. Like, gone.
How does one repair a bounce house? Did you just duct tape?
Sure,
but that's only going to do such.
It's all about where the rips are. Is anything going to hold? Yeah. So anyway, bounce house radio.
There's no bounce house repairman. I think you could just call.
Probably
over.
Are, but once you start charging whatever you're going to charge, like I'll just get one for you know.
Almost the same price.
Those are much more expensive than just you know your little splash pads in the yard.
Yep. It was humid, by the way, this weekend.
It's supposed to be
sitting in the pool. I still felt like I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
You called it. Did you just make this up or did you read it? A generational humidity event?
I read that this week the entire country is going to be really humid.
Because I was saying that to friends yesterday, like, oh, it's going to be generational humidity. I didn't even know if it was actually true, but just the way it was outside, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
That's what this feels like at the moment.
Yeah,
right. Like I'm underwater standing outside the pool.
Right now, the humidity is 97%. Right now.
Geez.
It'll drop throughout the day. But yeah, during the week, it goes up to about 90 to 80% most days.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's warm out there. The air is thick.
I think humidity is everybody's most agreed, most hated weather feature, right? Most universally hated. Because, you know, like, I don't like the heat. Once you get above 90, I'm not into it. Sal loves it. Like, I won't golf in, like, 95-degree weather. Sal's into it. Some people hate the cold. Some people are fine with it. We've had our wind battles about how windy it is, whether you hate that or not. Nobody likes humidity.
Yeah, I would say what humidity does is humidity with heat. That's what makes you think you need to get to air conditioning. Because dry 89 degrees, the shade will do some work for you.
Sure.
But humid, it doesn't do much work for you. It's not the same.
It's everywhere.
Yep. Now, anyway, that says, you know, it's a dry heat versus humid heat, you spent plenty of time in Arizona.
Yeah.
And when that's 115 degrees,
oh yeah,
it's not like, humid, but it does feel like you're going to catch on fire.
But you made the right point about there are ways to escape it when you're there. If you're in the sun or you're standing on the concrete, like you can't even do that. You'll burn your feet. Like that's when you feel it and it feels like you're on the surface of the sun. But if I go find an umbrella, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable. Whereas yesterday, there's nowhere you can go other than inside into air conditioning to feel any sort of comfortable. Yeah, you could be in a pool.
The humidity beater is a pool and also wind, like a breeze. If you're down by the water or anything like that, that'll help quite a bit.
If I put a dehumidifier out next to me out on a patio, is that going to do anything?
That seems like it's
probably not.
Probably not.
What if everyone puts a dehumidifier outside?
If we all together as a community just put out, hey, today is put your dehumidifier outside day. We're going to see how much of an impact it can make.
Yeah.
Not enough?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the grid could handle that. Probably not. It's whatever. I don't think it's oppressive heat. I think we're fine, you know?
It's okay.
Yesterday,
it's okay
a lot of yesterday.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got a couple in the chat. Georgia. A guy in the chat chimes in from Georgia that Georgia is brutal right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I haven't spent much time in the Carolinas and in Georgia and Florida in the summer. But, you know, everybody lives there. It's like, oh, yeah, brutal.
Yep.
So anyway, hey, it's summer. We don't get a lot of it. I'm not complaining about it. Not at all. High today of 89. High tomorrow of 88. The week is pretty much in the 80s. So welcome to summer. If this were training camp, you know, the players have to stay hydrated. It probably will get pretty warm once we get to July, once we get to St. John's.
Yes, probably will be pretty hot.
Countdown's on. Last night, the Pacers and the Thunder, maybe that Halliburton injury might get more people to, not necessarily more people to tune in, but to kind of, wow, what happened? What's the story here? If you're not an NBA fan, you might want to know about a story like that where Tyrese Halliburton, who is statistically the most clutch player ever, if you're going to kind of have fun with that,
yeah,
he makes more big clutch shots than anyone ever, especially this postseason. We had the stat that he had hit more game-winning shots in the final 10 seconds than anybody in their career, and he did it in this postseason.
Right. Yeah.
And here it's Game 7, and he's raining threes like he's been touched by the gods of being clutch. And, all right, let's see what happens. Game 7, and he blows out his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tough. Was last night not the exact same as Durant getting hurt in Toronto? As soon as it happens, you're like, well, that's going to be that.
Yeah.
I know Indiana hung around. I know they were in it. They led at halftime. But, hey, their best player is nursing a calf injury. Well, he's got to play. He's got to play. Bang. It's over.
Yeah. I will say, though, the one couple, there are so the similarities are, it's in the finals. They had both had calf injuries going in.
That they were trying to manage.
Right. And that was mentioned about Halliburton. Like, hey, this happened to Durant. He pushed it. It was the finals. It was a calf injury. He overcompensated, snap, and now he's out for a year, the next year. The one key difference that I'll mention with that is that happened in Game 5 of that series, not of Game 7, and not a quarter in, like, Game 5. And that Warriors team was, like, super team, dynasty. They had already won it. They'd already won two, right, with Durant there? So he goes down, and there would have been some curiosity, like, oh, let's see if they could do it without him again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen them do it without him. Now it's back to Steph, Clay, and Draymond without Durant, and they can win this. This is going to be – you might have thought going into that, that would have been a blowout in favor of Golden State. I don't think it was. But that would have left curiosity. Last night it felt like – the moment Halliburton goes down, like, oh, this game is gonna... This game was maybe on its way to being, like, a legend status type of game, and him going down is, ugh.
It's tough.
Took all the wind out of the sails. Like, I was so pumped up for that game last night, and it started great, and then...
It started great, yeah.
He goes down like that. And, too, like...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, your mood changes, right? Like, I'm into it, I'm pumped up. Your mood changes not just on him being injured, but slamming his fist on the ground. ESPN couldn't show you enough of his reaction on the ground, right? Like, how upset he was and his dad crying in the stands. Like, that was, it was emotional.
It really
watching
did
him go down that way.
It really did change everything, all the way to when they come back from break and the big music is hitting, and it's like, oh, here
that
we go.
That break, did you notice, by the way, how long that break felt?
It was long.
That was like a 5-6 minute, yep. Maybe it wasn't that long. It felt like it was that long, though, that commercial timeout.
All the prepackaged Game 7, it's the moment, it's this, and, you know, Mike Breen's pumping up from break, and when you come back, you're just like, yeah, man, like, it puts a pall that hangs over everything. It's like, ugh. All right, the best player for one team, or maybe the most important player for one team, got an injury that's going to keep him out all of next year, too.
Right.
Because that's usually what it does. That's what happened to Tatum. Three Achilles blown in this postseason.
Yeah.
And a couple right before the playoffs as well. Like, the load management conversation in the NBA has probably annoyed a lot of people. It's about to get a lot louder. If you watch basketball, you're going to see load management conversation go to new heights. Both these guys, Tatum and Halliburton, played not only long postseasons last year, but like international play, 100 games during the season. I saw a ton of takes about shortening the regular season last night. Like, here we are.
Yeah.
It's not to say that has no merit, yeah. But I mean, the idea of shortening a regular season has always, to me, seemed ridiculous because these teams are not going to just give up money.
No, you know what they might do? Actually, this was, I think LeBron had this idea, or I've heard him talk about it at least, is that they're going to shorten the minutes in the games, that they'll do 40-minute games instead of 48-minute games, and that'll be their load management without getting rid of games so they could still charge the same amount for tickets.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Well.
Or what they could do. They haven't done that, but.
I guess I've never thought about it this way. Whenever you go to make a rule change, people say, what about all the records, right? What do you do when you shorten a game?
I think that's actually when I heard this clip of it was LeBron on his podcast. He was with Steve Nash now. He said that about the 40-minute games, and then the next thing out of his mouth was about the records. And how, like, well, you're tampering with history, though, if you do that. Which, you know, you would be, but it's already so different that I'm not even sure that it really matters. I don't know, like, how do you prevent Achilles injuries? Like, in sports, they just kind of happen, and, like, they're kind of the worst because they just happen on an instant like that.
Non-contact.
How are you supposed to prepare for that? I guess in these instances, like, a couple of the common points, not for all of them, but like Haliburton and Durant are, you have calf injuries going in that might be contributing to it. But, like, why does Aaron Rodgers tear his Achilles?
Yep.
Why it's just the way his foot hit the ground in that one moment, it just that was it.
Did you appreciate where we are in society where we're all commenting on, oh yeah, there's the pop.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, there's the moment. You could see the reverberation. We all got to know that when Rodgers blew his out. I mean, it's not the most disgusting injury there is because all it looks like is like a little ripple on the muscle.
No, it can make you squeamish.
It's
though.
A little squeamish, but at least it's not bone sticking out of skin. Sorry, 6 a.m. people eating breakfast. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Stotts had the numbers on this. If Haliburton was the Achilles, which it is, the eighth tear of the season in the NBA, the previous high was 5. In 2014-15. Now, you know, what does the NBA do with that data? The NFL takes concussions and decides to change rules on kickoffs to get those numbers down. Does the NBA rather think they have an Achilles tearing problem? 8 in 1 year, which is nearly double the previous high.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you know, it might be a one-off.
Is someone going to go to work on, you know, do the high-top shoes actually protect you more than the low-tops or something?
Yeah.
Because I think players are starting to wear low-tops more and more often.
Giannis's brother tore his in the offseason, and another prospect, Jalen Moore, injured in a pre-draft workout. So those two don't even count.
Yeah.
8, and then 2 other guys that did it right before the season began. So, all right, what do you do? If you think about the injury, what injury – Jay McKee is what people might say here. What injury changed the course of a narrative? What injury changed the course of a season of who won more than any other? Do you have one top of mind? Because last night when that happens, my first thought is Kenyon Martin in Cincinnati.
Oh.
Which is way back. But Kenyon Martin broke his leg. I'm pretty sure he broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
In the conference championship for Cincinnati, they're the number one team in college basketball. They are dominant. They're amazing. I want to say they're 33-1. And he breaks his leg and the tournament starts. Like, well, there you go. Like, it's over now. You were probably going to win the title. You should have won the title. Who knows if you do. But that injury, and if you're a Cincinnati fan, it's like, well, I guess we're going to watch them play the games. But there it goes. We have someone in the chat saying, imagine if, and I don't even want to speak it into the universe.
Oh, like, I don't even, you know what? I have the tab open. I'm not even going to click it because I think I know. I can imagine what the person's
imagine
about to say.
If the Bills, a big game. Don't you write those words in that chat.
The biggest game.
The biggest game.
Because that's going to be, right, for an Indiana Pacers fan, last night, that's their Jay McKee moment. It's probably even worse because you're into game 7 of the finals.
Yeah,
like,
it's probably worse.
You're not in the conference finals. You're in the finals.
And you're one of the best underdog stories ever.
And everything kind of lined up for them to have a real claim to it. Like, it's game 7. He's your best player, your most important player. He's on fire to start the game. Like, right, he's hitting 3-pointers from the moon almost. Like, he's not at the 3-point line. He's taking those shots from way back, and they're going in. And then it's the first quarter, and it happens. Like, they're going to for a lifetime be like, that was the one. If Haliburton doesn't get hurt.
Right, does he score 60?
Pacers fan's going to say that for 50 years. Right, like he was about to have his legend game. And man, that game at the end, nobody could make a shot. I mean, SGA wins the title. He tried to hit 10 daggers at the end, and he couldn't do it. So he went back to pushing off and flopping on the ground. So, like, if Halliburton is in that game, he's the opposite of that. Maybe he does win it. It's happening in that moment. Like, I don't know. It would be the equivalent of a quarterback. Here comes the Super Bowl. And in the first quarter, bang, there he goes, down. And, like, that hasn't happened in a Super Bowl that I can remember. Like, Foles starts and wins a Super Bowl, but, like, that's so different because, one, he wins it, and he had been in for weeks.
Yeah.
So...
I'm going to speak this into the universe again. Have we ever had a quarterback leave this? I mean, Kelly, Jim got hurt in the... But that game's a blowout at the time, right?
But is that the last time?
What's the score of that game when he gets hurt? Somebody on Twitter will know. Somebody on the chat will know. The fourth Super Bowl... The third, where Kelly and... He gets hit by Ken Norton, I believe.
Uh-huh.
How many passes had he attempted?
He was injured in the second quarter of that game.
Okay.
So I'll try to find. I mean, they won 52-17.
Right.
So,
and it got, obviously, the game got away from them, but that's a team that's, you know, had
a lot
of offensive firepower, and Kelly leaves, of course, with the injury, and Wright goes in. That's the last one where a quarterback got hurt in the Super Bowl?
Man, I can't remember a guy leaving even for, because, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. The guy's leg would have to be hanging off for him to not try, or it would have to be this specific injury, because this is one where, like, I just don't think there's anything you could do. Like,
right.
You're not, you can't put weight on it, you know?
Yeah, I can think of championship games. Joe Montana gets knocked out of an NFC championship game. Rich Gannon gets knocked out of an AFC championship game. Brock Purdy knocked out of an NFC championship game, along with their other quarterbacks, and then Purdy went back in with the inability to throw. Like, we've seen the big injury change championship games. The Super Bowl, I can't think of the last time it did happen.
Kelly goes out, it's 14-7 Cowboys in the second quarter.
All right. I mean, like,
it's a game.
It's alive, at least. It's alive.
Yeah, he only attempted 7 passes in that Super Bowl.
That's tough.
And then the rest were Reich. Like, Dwayne Rolison got hurt in the Stanley Cup Finals for Edmonton, right?
Yep. And whoever whoever their backup was, too. Who was that?
They got down to their third guy?
They were on their third goalie.
I don't remember that.
Yes, they were on their third goalie, and they took Carolina to 7 games.
Who is the goalie that's playing against Carolina that year? All the more reason why it's fake cup.
By the way,
fake cup there in Carolina.
That's how we know we're softening. You used to have that name top of mind.
You're right.
The goalie that Carolina beat in 7 games.
I still
games.
Got Janik and Jilson, but I don't have...
The Edmonton goalie. Who, give it to us.
Salo, maybe?
Sammy Salo, I think he's hurt too. I think it's their third guy.
He's the other one that's hurt?
Maybe. There's another guy that plays in that series.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so Rolison is the starter. Conklin is the backup.
Ty Conklin's hurt. And
the guy who plays 6 games is UC Markkanen?
Yeah, there you go.
You're right, I had that name. There was a time where I had that name.
We used to have it. UC Markkanen. They needed 7 games to beat UC Markkanen.
Yeah.
On an 8 seed.
By the way, speaking of injuries in the finals, Durant in that Toronto series goes down. In that last game, I think might have been in the first half too.
He was lighting them up, wasn't he?
No. He goes down in game 5.
Okay.
I think in the clinching game, which is maybe game 6, Clay goes down too. Tears his ACL.
Right.
So, like, the last 2 quarters of that game, and it's still a game, and Golden State's trying to push game 7, like, it's Steph by himself again.
Yeah.
And he almost, like, he has a shot to win game 6 and just misses it. So, like, you could say both of them.
We've got.
It's crazy though that I can't think of a Super Bowl one.
The biggest,
not
injury,
even a non-quarterback.
The biggest,
right?
Injury in a Super Bowl that mattered the most in a Super Bowl.
Because there's nothing I'm thinking of that compares to, like, what happened last night to Indiana at all.
Chat points out Benford in the AFC Championship game concussed. That's right. That happened. Bills lost a very important player in the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
803-0550. Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Oh, Joe Theismann in 1985. That wasn't the Super Bowl, though, right? When he broke his leg?
That famous play is not the Super Bowl. No, that's against the Giants. So
okay.
He might have gotten hurt in the 85 Super Bowl. I don't know. Whatever.
Or maybe it was the NFC Championship game or something. Yeah.
Anyway, good morning. And then there's Tommy Fleetwood, who had a lead through 71 holes and had the old he bogeyed and the other guy birdied. Keegan Bradley being pushed as Captain America to win that tournament late. Rough one for Tommy Fleetwood,
who has never won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, most top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour without a win on the PGA
Tour.
That's what
made it more heartbreaking for me, was that everyone seems to like him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fleetwood?
Yep.
And just, didn't everyone feel so bad for him in that? Like, now I have my guy, though. He's my guy. I want to win the Open Championship more than anybody. He's really good. Everyone likes him.
He wouldn't
a moment like that. Let me see your response.
That would not break his winless in the United States streak, though. He's still never won a tournament here. He's won tournaments, just not on the PGA Tour,
okay,
and not in the U.S.
Sure, right.
So he's won over there. You know,
All right. If he wins the Open Championship, and one person, the next person goes, "Oh, do it at the Genesis Open."
That's right. 803-0550, our phone number. Kevin Durant got traded for a million things. He's now in the Rockets. Plenty to get to today. It's just me and you, Jeremy and Joe. Owen's here. Josh is here. Plenty to talk about for the weekend. I got to check in with Owen on our cooler theory. The cooler theory. We all played golf on Saturday. I played golf with Owen and with John Gale with Bulldog. Cooler theory is that when I play with Bulldog, he plays like crap. And then he goes out the next day and plays great. And he played with me on Saturday, and let's just say he was a little upset with himself on a couple things. None of us played really well. Mm-hmm. And then Bulldog played on Sunday and beat Owen without me there. Cooler theory. It's still alive and well. And we've got to talk about the Sabres, of course. It's got to be a big week in movement for the Sabres. Trades are happening. They're linked to everything. And there's kind of a bit of everyone woke up and looked at their center depth and kind of, what happened here?
Yeah.
What on earth? So we'll dig into some Sabres offseason stuff as well. Happy summer. It's June 23rd. So are the days already getting shorter? If so, that's kind of depressing, is it not, that it happens this early in the summer?
We also are it's exactly 1 month from training camp today.
1 month.
July 23rd.
All right. We'll get to the 30 biggest storyline. No, maybe probably not. Maybe not 30
storylines. 30 storylines.
Probably not 30 storylines. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550 on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.